The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good and Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DK Network. However you're taking us in this morning, we do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D in lovely downtown.
The barrage.
I was about to say San Francisco. What happened to me? Las Vegas. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. I'm good.
You excited for Thursday night football?
I am. Speaking of San Francisco really quick, I was with a friend last night from San Francisco and another friend who's not. And the other friend said San Fran. And I said, whoa, they don't like that.
They don't like that. You don't say that. That's the biggest tell that you're not from there. You know what they call themselves? The city.
The city.
Yeah. When you say the city in the Bay Area, they know you're talking about San Francisco, which is why Oakland says the town, which is why you see the Warriors wearing the town. No, not that they're in Oakland anymore.
Connect to the dots. Right.
And we're done for the day.
I learned something. We're done for the day.
And we're done. Bill Connolly will join us. Love this. We talk to Bill once or twice a year. He is the creator of SP Plus, his own proprietary analytic. He used to work with Aaron Schatz. That's where he got his start. And now he does college football primarily for ESPN. We will talk to him about the college football season in total, what he feels about obviously the playoffs and then championship week specifically. But I want to get, you know, the same sort of thing I ask Aaron Schatz at the end of the season in the NFL. What teams flummoxed you the most? What teams did you overrate? What teams did you underrate? And just sort of get into what a strange college football season it has been. We'll also talk college football with Bud Elliott, who is a fellow FSU graduate of yours.
Yes, it's correct.
So he'll get some thoughts. Bud he's got some thoughts on these games coming up this week.
I believe I got paid a few bucks by Bud like once upon a time, like 12 years ago, to write some words about Florida State.
Is that right?
I think so. I can't even remember. We've kind of known each other for a long time, but not really known each other that well, you know?
Bud is from 24/7 Sports. Yep. Adam Stanko's operation over there in Nashville, Tennessee. I give Stanko credit for that. We haven't had Stanko on in years. We got to get him back on. He's big time. He's executive now. Can't have him on the show. And then it's Thursday. That means Unscripted with the Crack Man. We're going to get into a bunch of things with Crack, including I'd like to get into this Mark Cuban sale of the Mavericks, which I know is not a sports betting thing, but I think is a fascinating learning tool for like young people out there in investing. I really do. We'll get into that.
Did you hear the latest rumor on that?
What's the latest rumor? Oh, that he's going to run for president?
President, yeah.
That could be. That's not where I'm going to go with it. But that, yeah, I hear the odds, those who oppose such odds, he has crashed in those markets. Would you vote for Mark Cuban?
I have no idea what Mark Cuban stands for besides money. So, yeah probably.
I think that's his North Star. I think you might be right. All right, we do have Thursday night football tonight. Let's start there. You want to talk about that first? Or you want to talk about this? Let's talk about that first. Thursday night football tonight between the Seahawks and the Cowboys. Cowboys 9-point favorites. Consensus total 47.5. We've referred to on this show the Cowboys as bullies. The Cowboys and Dolphins this year as bullies. By the way, I saw the second episode of Hard Knocks in season with the Dolphins.
How many have they done?
Two.
Okay, I was going to say, geez,
Mike McDaniel is fantastic.
I would watch every year with them.
Oh, he's so great. Yeah. He's hilarious.
I'm looking forward to it. I got to catch up on that.
What a fascinating character. And what it makes you think is how great of a hire he was. Anyway, I stray. The Cowboys are the other bullies. They play tonight, taking on the Seahawks. The Seahawks have lost two in a row. The Cowboys have won three straight in blowout fashion. And this is part of, we talk about gauntlets for other teams, namely the Eagles being in the midst of a six-game gauntlet where they're already 3-0. The Seahawks kind of in a gauntlet, too. They have a four-game gauntlet where it was at home against the Niners last week, at Dallas here, at San Francisco next week, and then home against Philly. They're 0-1 so far in the gauntlet, and they really need to win football games or else their season's going to be donezo pretty quick. Prime time unders, Kelly. Let's start there, because every single one of these primetime games in the NFL seems to go under, even when it has no business going under. Some of them have all the business, like this last one between the Vikings and the Bears. 29-9 this season, unders in primetime games. 29-9.
It's incredible.
I don't know that there's anything to that, it just kind of is.
I mean, unders are hitting at a ridiculous rate this year. It's been hovering around 60% pretty much all season.
So this is that on crack.
Right, carry that over to prime time. Yes, it's that on crack a little bit, but I think it's just it all goes back to defenses. Defenses are ahead of offenses in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I think you can make a case for this game going under though, with the high total that is 47.5, high-ish. You have a couple. First of all, the you know, as much as folks want to kill Geno Smith, and there's reason to, I guess, but his line has done him no favors. Phil Haynes and Stone Forsythe on the right side. Have allowed at least three pressures against the Niners. They even tried out 41-year-old Jason Peters. At one point, he allowed three pressures on just 12 pass blocks. And now one of those guys, Haynes and Forsythe, Haynes specifically, he's out tonight, which means they have a fourth-round rookie, Anthony Bradford, who's going to start in front of Geno. We know we had Matt Brown on here. Everybody likes to talk about the Cowboys' pressure. Really, it's Micah Parsons who's providing all the pressure. He should go crazy tonight against that offensive line. And then there's the notion of the Cowboys, and you're like, okay, I get that under thing because the Seahawks offense is going to be stymied. But what about this Cowboys offense that has scored, what is it, at least 38 points in four straight home games? Seahawks defense has bad rankings, like 22nd in DVOA. But remember, that's because they were banged up early in the year. So they got players on that defense. Devin Witherspoon has been fantastic as a rookie. Obviously, Boye Mafe, Bobby Wagner is back. Reek Woolen, who hasn't been as good this year, but certainly we've seen him shine. They obviously added Leonard Williams. They've got players, and they play a lot of zone in Seattle. They have the second highest rate of zone defense. As good as Dak has been, he's less good against zone. So that would be the case against the Cowboys scoring 38, for instance, in this kind of game, that their scoring might be muted. The other thing about the Cowboys, we talk about Deron Bland, and we'll segue this into the comeback player of the year talk. But, you know, we're talking about Deron Bland getting defensive player of the year. And yes, by the Kelly Bidlin Bible, one more.
He
needs one more.
The odds reflect.
But one of the things that it does is it sort of puts that Dallas Cowboys, oh, they've scored at least 38 points in every, you know, all of these games at home. Yeah, because you can't really count on a pick six. That's been bumping up that number too. So I don't know. I don't have a play on the side. I don't. I already told you what four. We'll refresh what four of my bets are this week, but none of them have to do with this game. If anything, is this another primetime under based on everything I just said?
Yeah, good chance. Good chance. I did play. I teased this game. I teased this game when it opened with the Jags. I teased Cowboys with the Jags on the opener.
When it was below 9.
It was 7.5 then. But even now, Gil, I don't think this is a bad teaser like this. If you wanted to play 6.5-point teaser, like you could get, Dolphins are mainly 9.5. But if you wanted to go 7, I mean, Cowboys, Dolphins, Jaguars all still, sides that you could mix in if you wanted to go 6.5, 7-point teaser. I think all three of those sides are strong this week. So I'm invested actually pretty big in this game on the Cowboys side tonight. I do think there's an argument to be made for Seattle though, where there's
it's a lot of points.
We're talking a lot of like kind of the recent history. Do you really feel though that the Seattle team's as bad as what they've maybe looked like the past few weeks?
No.
And do you really feel like the Cowboys are as good as what their record reflects?
Again, no.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, I do think there's...
But would I be shocked if the Cowboys won by 2 touchdowns? I wouldn't.
No, me either. Yeah. Me either.
So...
It's the flip side, you brought up the Seattle defense. On the flip side, Cowboys are going to play a lot of man. Geno struggled against man this year. Throughout the entirety of this season, he's been absolutely horrible against it. So if he could have a rough night. I think
he's returned to being Geno.
Yeah, it's probably easy to say this on almost every Seattle game, but I think it's going to come down to what Geno Smith can do in this game.
What was it that you wanted to say about the comeback player of the year?
Oh, no, that Aaron Rodgers is back practicing.
Practice yesterday.
And those odds keep getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
We got to get Dr. Chow on here because I'd like to have a mano-a-mano with him on this. Cam Akers was 22 years old when he ruptured his Achilles. He came back in 5.5 months. Okay? That's the gold standard of Achilles rupture recovery. Rodgers wants to come back. He wants to play football live real football within 3.5 months. Remember, Akers was 5.5 at 22. Rodgers wants to do it at 3.5 months at the age of 39. Now, here's what Rodgers would ask. Someone who has, I'm not a physician, but I have ruptured not one but two Achilles. As someone who has done that, here's what I can tell you Rodgers can do. He can stand up. He can be behind center. He can take a snap. He can go three steps back and throw a quick pass. He can do that, right? That's performative, though. I'm talking about real football where you have to like cut and drive and bounce around in the pocket and do all kinds of athletic things. He can't do that. So if his goal is to just feed his ego and do that, okay, he can step back on a football field. But are we really, is that what we're really talking about with him?
So, and also listen to, for everybody that might be getting excited about this Rodgers return, listen to what his own head coach is saying. What he's basically doing out there is throwing to players instead of throwing to staff members off to the side, right? Like that's all Aaron Rodgers back at practice means. Is he actually, like you just said, can throw some passes to some guys that actually play football.
And if the Jets are probably going to be out of playoff contention by the time this date rolls around where he wants to play anyway.
18-1 right now.
I just want to say this again. When I was in my 20s and ruptured one, the medicine and the medical thinking at that time was, don't do anything. There's a significant case of re-rupture that you should rest. 20 plus years later, when I ruptured the other, was like, no, get out there and exercise. We're still human, though, and we still have a rate of re-rupture. So even with this apparently newfangled technique that his physician did, that his surgeon did, the Jets would be so irresponsible for putting him out there and risking it at all. It's such a ridiculous conversation. Let's get Chow on. Bill Connolly on the other side next here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, we're giving you one last chance to sign up on our best deal of the year. Today is the final day to sign up on our Black Friday special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowl, Super Bowl, and March Madness. This offer expires today. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. One last thing about that discussion, Kelly. One last thing. When people mention the Cam Akers part of this, if they do, but I will write again, Cam Akers was 22. He came back in 5.5 months at 22. Gold standard. What they failed to mention about that is 2 years later, when he was with the Vikings, he ruptured the other one. Many might suggest it's because he overcompensated so much in getting back from the first one, right? That it happened again, that you have some sort of susceptibility to begin with, those folks who do rupture their Achilles. So they fail to mention that about a guy who was in his early 20s. Like, just stop betting him. Stop betting him.
I don't see it happening at any point. It's just, who does it make sense for?
Nobody. Nobody out the Jets. Yeah, that's right. Bill Connolly was off here just saying if he's any good, it'll ruin their draft pick. The rate of re-rupture is the real risk. Speaking of whom, Bill Connolly joins us. He's kind enough to do so, I don't know, once or twice a year whenever we're smart enough to invite him on. He is the creator of the proprietary stat SP Plus. He used to work with our buddy Aaron Schatz back in the day, and now, of course, he's at ESPN for so many years. He does other sports, but college football is his primary gig. It's Bill Connolly, everybody. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Let's start with that. I caught that you were on Rufus and Jeff's Bet the Process. I saw you were on the Wharton podcast as well. I didn't get to listen to all, but I want to start with one thing that was said in one of them, and I think it was Bet the Process, which is, and you said it, which is, okay, think about this college football season as a whole. There's two competing narratives that don't reconcile. One is, you know, the good teams aren't as good as they used to be or in previous years. The top is not as great. The other thing is we've gotten no upsets whatsoever. So when I ask you about this season and like, what do you make of that? And then part and parcel with that, what teams ended up overperforming and underperforming the most based on your preseason thoughts and numbers?
Yeah, I mean, In the end, the top three teams in SP Plus right now are the top three in the preseason, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio State, slightly different order, I think. But it has been funny. I mean, in the end, the general bell curve for the ratings is about normal. It's just that all these close calls that these teams suffered, you know, Ohio State with with Notre Dame primarily early in the season, where their offense was pretty sketchy, with, you know, Georgia with South Carolina and Auburn, all these things, they just didn't lose. They thought about losing. They considered it pretty significantly, and then they just decided not to, apparently. And so what we've ended up with is an 8-team fight for 4 playoff spots on the last weekend, and it's pretty exciting. There are some scenarios at play here that we've never really experienced before. Like, you know, what if number 8 Alabama beats number 1 Georgia? Can they actually jump 4 spots? But it's unique. It could be either the easiest call ever if chalk holds once again, if the general theme of entertaining chalk continues for one more weekend. Or we could have an absolute nightmare here with 6 teams that would always get in and only 4 of them getting in. So I don't know what to expect exactly. I guess I'm betting on chalk still, but it's going to be interesting.
I have so many questions about that. First, what are you rooting for personally? Like, deep down in your head, what are you rooting for to happen?
I almost want Louisville to lose, or Louisville to win, excuse me, just so we don't have to go through like 12 to 18 hours of should Florida State be in, you know, all this talk that, especially if Alabama wins and we have 12-1 Georgia, 12-1 Texas, and 12-1 Alabama, there will be this huge debate over whether 13-0 Florida State should be in because of Jordan Travis's injury. And I'm already annoyed. I've been annoyed about it for 2 weeks. Like, if we don't put in an unbeaten power conference champion, what exactly are we doing with this whole process?
I agree.
And so that part, I almost want Florida. Because I don't want to get any madder about this, I almost want Florida State to lose just so we don't have to talk about it anymore. But that's otherwise, I'm just, you know, I'm all for headaches. Typically, I'm all for committee having a really tough choice to make. And there are certainly a lot of scenarios on the table where that's the case.
Last thing before we get into what your numbers say about championship week. Is it your instinct, though, going back to the Alabama Texas thing? Because I'm so with you there, right? I don't want the committee making any kinds of projections forward. I don't want them making a projection about Florida State without Jordan Travis, what they think about that. I don't want them talking about, oh, well, Alabama would beat Texas if they played now. I don't want them to. I want them going backwards on the games that were actually played. But is it your instinct? Because I think it's so many of ours that if Alabama did beat Georgia, regardless of by how many, that in a question, in a binary choice between Alabama and Texas, they would take Alabama, wouldn't they?
Well, they're so adherent to head-to-head. You know, I always cite the example from a couple of years ago where Oregon beat Ohio State early in the season and then looked like nothing even close to a playoff contender after that. But because they had the same record as Ohio State, the committee insisted on putting Ohio State behind Oregon no matter what. It's kind of a weird situation here where, you know, the committee would have to put Texas ahead of Alabama and Alabama ahead of Georgia, or contradict itself in some way. And this is a scenario we haven't seen before. My gut says that Georgia, if they lose, they fall to 4th. It ends up being like 4 Georgia, 5 Texas, 6 Alabama or whatever. But that feels really weird. That feels like we could have the exact reverse of that at the same time. So yeah, we have a lot of precedent here over the last decade. We don't have a precedent for this, and I think Georgia still gets in, but I'm not amazingly confident about that.
I do wonder if it's just in the end, it's human beings who are going to take the, you know, that their North Star, I'll use that phrase again today on the show, that is just going to be, what will give us the less guff in, what will give us the least incoming? So, okay, if FSU wins, let's just put them in because we don't want to get into that whole debate. And if Alabama and Texas, we got to put Texas in because we don't want to get, like, I wonder if that ultimately is what's going to win out. I wonder. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. And remember that these are, you know, a bunch of people in a room debating this and then voting one by one anonymously. So it's not, we always act like, you know, the committee decided to put Texas, it's like 12 or whatever individuals and they all have a secret ballot in the end. And usually, you know, collectively, you know, you're talking about guff, like last year, you know, magically TCU lost, but didn't fall to where Michigan and Ohio State had to play each other again. You know, there is kind of a convenience factor there, even if they are voting anonymously. But Yeah, I don't know what, as far as catching the most flack. I mean, yeah, FSU being in, unbeaten and in, that should be an absolute. Yeah. But as far as Georgia versus Alabama versus Texas in this scenario, I don't know what. I think they're pretty much doomed no matter what in that scenario.
Yeah. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, some of these for sure. All right. What are your numbers tell? What does SB Plus tell us about championship week? What do you like the best from a betting perspective?
Well, the number is so low on Louisville now. What is it? 2.5 Louisville plus 2.5 Like, that almost makes me lean Florida State, even though I don't really like Tate Rudemaker at all. You know, Florida State still has one of the best receiving duos in the country. They still have Jared Verse and one of the best pass rushes in the country. They do give up some big plays, and that's kind of been Louisville's ticket to big wins. And I know Jeff Brohm with his 4 top 10 wins or whatever at this point, he's going to throw the kitchen sink at Florida State, and it'll probably work early, but we just haven't ever seen Florida State falter this year late. They always come through, and I just kind of trust him at this point, even if Jordan Travis, who really, he was good this year. He wasn't like the best quarterback in the country this year. He was kind of just in control for the most part, and I think Rotomaker can kind of do that at least. So then I expected this to be like FSU, I don't know, -4, something like that. You get down to 2.5, when I start leaning Florida State. I think the other one I feel more confident about is Miami. And this is another quarterback injury situation, but Miami, Ohio against Toledo. I think that should be like a kind of a +1 to +4 situation. It's what, +8, +7.5, +8. I just don't trust Toledo enough. They're always good, and they never quite live up to what SP Plus projects, and SP Plus has Miami covering. So even with the quarterback injury there, I just think Miami's defense is awesome and will kind of make this a war of attrition.
Let me ask you this in closing. A lot of people have said anecdotally, wow, Washington undefeated. They're catching a lot of points here against Oregon. This feels like the ultimate disrespect. Your numbers don't actually believe that. You actually think this is pretty accurate, huh?
Pretty accurate. It leans slightly towards Washington. I'd feel a lot better if this was like -7 or -8 for Oregon. But I mean, I know why the number is what it is. But since those two teams played, and I think SP Plus had Washington by 2.5 the first time they played. Now it has Oregon by like 8.5. Because since these two teams played, only one of them has looked like a top 3 or 4 team. Washington is constantly coming through in the clutch, and it's really cool. And if this game is, you know, a 3-point game in the last 5 minutes, I'm leaning Washington, but I don't know if it will be at this point, because Oregon's just been so much better. They've looking at kind of the transitive property, the head-to-head results, Oregon's been better every single time down the stretch here. I just think they're a better team.
Bill, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Yep.
Bill Connolly, everybody, on the show. SP Plus, all his work over there at ESPN.com. We'll come back. Bud Elliott joins us, college football, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to #1, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's #1 nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Jesse Welch. Hey, Kelly, I too have been paid a time or two before by Bud, quote unquote, in my past as well, he says. Mic's off, by the way. Louis Ventresca. Hey, Gil, can you get someone to pin that cable to the back of your shirt? Otherwise, I see Tommy John in your future. He's right. Might get Tommy John surgery because of it. And Rich PSM, I want the best teams in the playoffs. If we can vote them in, should we vote the winner of the NFC South into the playoffs the last 2 years? You really want to see teams like Notre Dame and Florida State most likely get blown out with 2 games left? This is the whole debate between, you know, best versus deserving. They have in the bylaws the 4 best, right? Like whatever it is. Like that's supposed to be what they're... It's never that.
Nope.
By the way, you have the greatest NFC South stat ever.
Andy Molitor on the Deep Dive podcast of the Carolina Panthers still in it to host a home playoff game.
Let's go, Panthers.
That's how bad the NFC South is right now. They have not been eliminated from that possibility.
Yes, and yes, Rich PSM, to answer your question, would I like to see the Panthers host a home playoff game? Absolutely, I would. I think it would be fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't usually book these two gentlemen back-to-back, but that's just how it worked out today. And one said hello to the other. Bill just said hi to Bud. Bill Connolly just joined us from ESPN. Now one of our favorites on college football, Bud Elliott from 24/7 Sports. He, of course, also does several podcasts. Not several, but he does a couple podcasts. The old Noel cast from back in the day. And the Cover 3, of course. You can follow him on Twitter at Bud Elliott 3. That's the number 3. How you doing, Bud?
Yeah, I was doing well. Glad to be back on.
Yeah. You are an FSU grad, are you not?
I am.
Yep. You are. Okay. So is our own Kelly Bidlin. Allegedly, he also graduated from that fine institution.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't know, but there's a lot of people out there like, oh, do we still have to keep talking about this stuff? But since you went to FSU, I feel like I can't not ask you. They win no matter how and they're in. Yes, we agree on this.
I think so. It's when you have people voting, it's not just a formula. Right. Like they generally follow a fairly predictable formula, but I wouldn't say it's 100%. It's probably, high 90s. If they come out and look like complete garbage on offense, like unplayable quarterback play or something like that, and they win 7-3 on a defensive score and Alabama boat races Georgia or something like that, then maybe. Right. Like they're like, all right, it's final year of the 14 playoff, whatever. But I think if they win with any reasonable, predictable outcome, and when you have two coaches like this, I don't think the game's going to be 7-3. I mean, Mike Norvell teams generally score almost regardless of who's playing quarterback. So I think if they win, they're in. Yeah.
Okay. And you don't want to tell that story you just told off air about how you feel about the ranking shows? You don't want to tell that story at all?
I think they're sponsored.
Yeah.
They have to do numbers, and they come up with rankings to do numbers every week.
There you go. All right. So you obviously you bet these things. You love betting college football. Championship week is upon us. What do you like best of the whole bunch? 10 games here this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
I like Michigan. I know they're banged up, but I don't think Iowa can do its Iowa turtle act for long enough in this game. Like it's a game they'll actually have to try. Maybe they just run the ball and punt the entire time and the game ends 20-0 and I lose. But I just think Michigan is going to have a lot of good field position here, even though Iowa has an elite punter. I mean, they are almost dead last in the country in 3-and-out rate. I think this is a game where it probably plays to a higher turnover likelihood. I mean, I know turnovers have a big luck factor, but when you're behind the chains more, that you basically have two options. You either just give up or you're going to have to throw the ball. And when Iowa throws the ball, the results are not pretty. And I think in a championship game, you have to kind of try, whereas opposed to just doing this Big Ten West on Big Ten West act. So I think this plays to a higher number. So I do like Michigan.
No notion of taking them in the first half rather than game, Bud. You want to lay the 22 for the game here?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the game. I don't think Iowa is particularly live for a backdoor here.
Okay. Well, there is a team total on Iowa for the first half at plus a half point. You want any part of that?
I would go under.
Go under. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think there's some mean median dislocation here, right? Where if you run your model, the mean is probably going to be more than that, but that's because it's a mean, right? The median number is probably a shutout.
I thought the end of that Iowa-Nebraska game was such poetry. It was just the perfect way to end a game that was lined at got to as low as 24.5, just a series of turnovers, and somehow it managed to stay under.
We were doing the tracker for the offense, and they need to get 325 points. They missed it by 109. We stopped doing it on Cover 3 Podcast. It wasn't fun anymore.
This isn't fun. I'm not going to track this anymore. All right, beyond the Big Ten championship, what do you like?
I honestly, this is not good radio. There's not a whole lot else that I really like this week.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
I don't think SMU, I don't think the drop-off for SMU with the quarterback is maybe what some think. But I also have the opinion that Tulane was sort of playing possum in early November, and that their true rating is probably higher than it's been for for most of the month. If you look at their participation chart and who they held out against Tulsa and against a couple of their other games that they had played prior to the UTSA game, they got a lot of those guys back against UTSA. And I do think if Tulane is close to full strength, then even though I don't think the drop off for SMU's quarterback is quite that much, I think the number's kind of fair. It came out, I was like, all right, cool, I'm probably going to bet SMU because I don't think Preston Stone's any good. I'm like, ah, damn, Tulane got all their guys back. All right, yeah, I'm going to pass this. It's an interesting weekend. I'm going to bet some Oregon alt-line stuff. This number can't be 9.5 or 10 unless Penix is hurt, right?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who really feel like, I mean, I don't know if that's the assumption on this. Do you?
I mean, I kind of do. Yeah. I think he's just, he doesn't look right for like the last month. So I'm going to bet some Oregon alts. Also, like, I think they'll try to get Bo Nix the Heisman.
They'll try to that's an interesting conversation too. Yeah.
Also, like, as far as like, hey, do they need style points? They're not going to know the outcome of Alabama, Georgia, right? And they're not going to know what Texas looks like because they play on Friday night. So there are style points for Bo Nix Heisman. There's also style points to not, you don't want to be the four seed because your four seed is going to have to play Georgia. I would much rather play Michigan. So there is incentive to run this up.
That said, if you're betting the Heisman right now, then anticipating that, would you recommend a Bo Nix bet at the current number?
No, I probably would not lay 140 on Bo Nix.
Okay.
I don't think I really want to lay that because I think there's so much of the electorate that does love Daniels.
I think that's right. And I think the Heisman electorate, as you put it, is so difficult to gauge because there's so many people who have a vote. Do you have a vote, by the way, bud, just out of curiosity?
I do not have a vote. I really didn't play much Heisman this year. In like right before Halloween, I played Carson Beck 200-1. Like that was the one outcome when Bowers went out. I was like, I think Beck's like a legitimate NFL guy. You know, if he goes and just catches fire and some people catch some losses, but obviously it didn't.
Yeah,
he's not going to win.
There was a game a couple weeks ago where I was texting me. I was like, Carson Beck is just throwing dimes in this game. Like, are we sure he's not the best quarterback? It's so interesting to me who does not have a Heisman vote. Like, you don't have one. Felica doesn't have one. Seems to be no vetting process on this. All right, so let me ask the question that non-bettors would ask you. Your casual friend who knows what you do but isn't really into betting. They're like, all right, bud, who's winning this whole thing? You would say who? Who's your number one rated team?
Georgia. It's still Georgia. I think offensive line wise, they're really good. I think Beck is a guy who's, you know, I don't know if he's a first rounder, but I think he's probably like a top 100 pick. Defensively, they're not the same as they were up front the last 2 years, but I think their coverage is elite. They don't allow a lot of explosive plays through the air. Like all five of their guys who play in the secondary, I think are like legitimate, fairly high draft picks. And that's, Kirby Smart can do a lot with that, right? If you ask to add a guy in the blitz game, cool. You got a lot of confidence in your back end holding up.
Last thing, are you you've probably told me this before, but I apologize for having forgotten. Are you a 12 team playoff format kind of guy? Like, are you looking so forward to this, or will you miss the meaningful nature of every regular season game that will get sacrificed?
So I think, yeah, I'm definitely a 12 team guy. I don't like how many fan bases are turning the page to next year around Halloween, right? They're like, okay, we're out. I want more people to be interested in the sport for longer. It's good for my job. It's good for my business if more people care about the sport longer into the season. Also, like we talk about some of these regular season games lacking meaning. How about the Orange Bowl or the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl? Like these New Year's Six games are opt-out fests now.
Yeah.
You know, so like those games are going to have additive meaning. I don't think that we're going to have fewer games with meaning. I think we'll have more games with meaning. Maybe a few of the very biggest games have a little bit less meaning.
I like it. Bud, appreciate it as always, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the weekend.
Enjoy it, guys.
Bud Elliott, everybody, from 24/7 Sports. Stanko, we got to get Stanko back on here. Crack Man Unscripted next.